Good to belong to Jesus.
Amen.
And it's good to be saved. It's good to be in a church. And I'm happy this morning. It was kind of neat last night when my wife was sitting there on the couch and I get this call from my neighbor. And he says, there's some big Texas Longhorns in the neighbor's yard. You got some alfalfa? Them cows didn't belong to me though. But they were my friend John Maul's. He lives about a little over a quarter mile down the street. So I get in my truck, grabbed four flakes of some alfalfa and a stick. I don't know if you've ever herded cows, but big stick is correct. And when you get around Texas Longhorns, a broomstick is not long enough. I grabbed a bigger branch later when I found one. So, but praise the Lord, we got out there and it was kind of funny that my neighbor tried to take this picture. He took this picture of this huge, I mean, they've got to be both of them about 5 foot long horns. And he took this picture. I mean, they're beautiful animals. Yeah. I mean, they're just so, I think they're one of the most beautiful animals there are. They really are. And in his beautiful yard, and they will trash your yard real quick. So thankfully enough, he got the cows out and started walking them down this old trail, you know, and I came up behind him, and you know, about an hour or so later, we got him back in his yard and figured out where they came from. But it was kind of fun and exciting, you know.
Yeah.
But them cows didn't belong to me, so I mean. But anyhow, it was fun. Good to help out your neighbors when you can, especially when their cows get out. So amen. Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Lord saving my soul. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this book. Lord, thank you for everybody here. Lord, I pray, Lord, today, Lord, that what you've showed me here in Scripture, Lord, would just be a blessing to your people. Lord, Lord, lead us, guide us, Lord, help us, Lord, in our decisions, Lord, even just following you all the much more, Lord, and just forsaking some things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 5, if you would, this morning. Oh, thank you for the reminder. Kids can go. Yeah. Thank you. She goes, you forgot something. I did. You guys can go downstairs. All right, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and then beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which was taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, if you're just like casually reading through your Bible, and you know, you're not just studying it out, you could think that this would be the initial calling of Peter, James, and John. But it's not. I mean, it's not. I know this is Sunday school, so just to teach you a little bit. But a lot of these things in Luke, I mean, this even takes place after the temptation of Christ. But so does the calling over there in Matthew and Mark. So it can be kind of, not to say confused, but you can just reading through it. Oh, I'm going to read Luke today. And think that, oh, that this is when Jesus called him. But it's not. This happened after. Mm-hmm. Right? We're just going to kind of look through that real quick. Why don't you turn over there to Matthew chapter number 4. And we'll just look at the differences here. Then we'll get into the message. Matthew chapter number 4. And then verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Right? So here you got their walking by. This is Lake Gennesaret. It also is the same as the Sea of Galilee. I looked this up last night. The Sea of Galilee and Lake Gennesaret, that's Israel's largest freshwater lake. It's actually 690 feet below sea level, which is the lowest freshwater lake on the earth, which is kind of neat. I didn't know that. It's also called the Lake of Tiberias, or sometimes Sea of Tiberias, but these are also the same place. But here it says over here that they were casting in that. Here you get Simon and Andrew, his brother. Turn over there to Mark. Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, and in verse number 16 says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after them." So here you also have that Jesus is walking by, which is a little bit different. You got their casting also, and they're mending their nets. And you have these hired servants of Zebedee, just a little bit different. So turn back over to Luke chapter 5. A little bit of turning this morning. But here in Luke chapter 5, and in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass as the people pressed on him." You know what? There's no mention of that in these other ones.
Right.
There's no mention. People pressing on him. The people pressed on him to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships. So now there's two ships standing by, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were watching. Both these ships, they're doing the same thing. They're washing their nets. Okay. Over there, we read it. They've gone out of their ship. Mark says that they were in the ship, James and John. Matthew says that they left the ship. Okay. They were already in the ship. So it's a different account. They're washing their nets. Here it says also that he enters into a ship, that Jesus did. And he entered into one of the ships, verse number 3. There's no mention of that over there in Matthew and Mark. Others say, say that they're walking by him. Here also in Luke, it says he sits down and he teaches the people out of the ship. That's a pretty important detail. Think something like that. We would have remembered that. You know what I mean? But like I said, you could read through Luke and just think this is the calling of him. And, I mean, it'd be real simple to do that. In Matthew, Jesus says unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." In Mark, Jesus says unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." But in this instance, in Luke, Jesus says unto Peter, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." It's personal. Also over there in Matthew, it says they left their nets. Mark says they forsook and followed. Luke says they forsook all. That's a big word.
Yeah.
That's a big word. Especially as a minister, that can be convicting. There's a difference in forsaking and forsaking all. There is. I know Brother John brings in some delicious donuts a lot of time that he makes from his bakery. I can forsake some of them. But I'm not forsaking all of them. I'm like, man, which one do I want? There's a difference. I want one of them. I look, okay, I'm gonna get that one. I'm not forsaking all. But there's a difference in these accounts here. I mean, the one is the initial calling, and the second one I'd like to call is a deeper discipleship. God's desire for a deeper discipleship. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says, "It came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." You know, it's a good desire to hear the word of God. And I like listening to preaching. I like listening to people talk about the Lord. I mean, this isn't just, oh yeah, you always say that, Jesus God. But I really do. I listen to James Knox. I listen to some good Bible preaching. I like listening to preaching. I like reading my Bible. It helps me. It gets my thoughts right. That is a good desire to have that versus watching some just television program or YouTube videos, which we all do. But to have that desire, just to listen into the preaching, to listen to the word, that's these people, they pressed upon him. You know, I know a few people, my brother-in-law Kevin, and even another preacher, Sean Holse, they read their Bible on audio. So the app will actually say it for them. And then sometimes they'll just hit times two on the play. So it's actually talking a little bit faster, which is kind of neat. Because he says, it even just told me, he says, "Mike, I have a hard time reading. I get kind of jumbled up in my thoughts and stuff like that." So he goes, "So I put it on play, this, and I can get through my Bible a little bit quicker, and I follow and I comprehend as he's talking and go through it." I mean, that's a good tool. That's a good desire. There's nothing wrong with that. I know some people just listen to preaching and listen to their Bible on the app as they drive down the road on the radio. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good desire. That's a good thing to do. You know, that's a good dedication. That's a good devotion to hear that word. Verse number 2, "And they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." You know what these guys are doing? They're just working. Just working. You know, it's good to work. Amen. I mean, we're missing a lot of that, not in this crowd, so to speak, but there's a lot of lazy people out there that just need to work. And I heard a preacher say one time before, God doesn't call lazy people. I'd agree with that. I've known that parable over there when the servant's in the vineyard. He says, "What are you doing standing here idle? Why don't you go out to my vineyard?" what are you doing? They all agreed for that penny, though. You know, God, and they're out there, they're working. I think God called David. You know what David was doing? Tending the sheep. He's working. I think of that little maid in 2 Kings chapter 5. That's probably one of my favorites. A little maid taken away that's a slave, waiting on a leper's wife. Just a little girl kid. And if it wasn't for that lady, that little maid's voice for what she said, "Would to God that thee be with the prophet that is in Samaria," you don't even get 2 Kings chapter 5. Because of her faith, because of her attitude, because of her word, because she was working and not going, "I hate this job." I get it. Yeah. Cleaning toilets for the church is way up here. Cleaning up after a leper?
Right.
You know, just working. That's all I'm talking about. Gideon, threshing the wheat. Think of Matthew. Sitting at the receipt of custom, working. Think of Elisha. What's he doing? He's plowing with a yoke of oxen. He's working. And God shows up where these people are working. Amen. "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." You know, I imagine it's a lot easier just to teach the people when they're not trying to push you in the water. You know what I mean? I mean, all these people just want to hear the word, and the word of God, and Jesus is there to teach them, and they're all just trying to get closer and closer and closer. And Jesus goes, you know what would be better? It'd be better if I just went out in the ship, you know. And he's out here across the pier. He goes, you know what? I'm just gonna go stand out and get in the ship, and then I'm gonna be out here with Peter, and I can look out at all you guys. Imagine that's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Pressed on. I like to say he was beach preaching.
Sure.
He wasn't street preaching. But nevertheless, I mean, people have their opinions on open air preaching and street preaching. I don't think we should do that. Well, Jesus did it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're getting your ideology from. But Jesus did it a lot. Open air preaching. I'm going to go out there by the lake and I'm just going to start teaching them some things out the Bible. Yeah? Beach teaching. Amen. And he enters into Simon Peter's boat. The more I keep reading about Simon, I can't wait to meet Peter. I really can't. He's on a long list, but he's up at the top somewhere. He really is. And Jesus singles him out. And people know. I can't not get away from this. People knew who Peter was. You know what I mean?
They had to.
It's just a had to. And everybody knows that's Peter's boat. Everybody knew that was Zebedee's boat over here and the hired servants. They knew that was Peter's boat. Had to have. I mean, they knew who Peter was. He was a somebody over there. And he says, and Jesus tells him, he says, you know what? He says, why don't you thrust out a little, Peter? Why don't you just thrust out a little? Just give a little push. That's kind of like when you're learning to drive a clutch. just a little. Just a little. Or you're learning on a motorcycle. You don't go, you're going to end up hurt. But you let that clutch out, and you just kind of, just a little. Just let out. Just thrust out a little. Not a lot. Peter listens. He obeys. And he does what Jesus asked. And God's teaching everyone on the shore. You know what he's teaching? He's kind of teaching them in that shallow end. I'm thankful that God teaches in the shallow end.
Amen.
There's nothing. Please, if you get anything out of this, there's nothing wrong with the shallow end. But God does desire a deeper discipleship. There's nothing wrong with the shallow end. I learned how to get saved in the shallow end. I learned that Jesus loved me in the shallow end. I learned the gospel in the shallow end. I've learned a lot of things in the shallow end. There's nothing wrong with it. You learn to stand in the shallow end. Your toes can feel the bottom in the shallow end. There's safety in the shallow end. You're closer to the land, closer to people. You're closer to a hospital, closer to a grocery store. I'm telling you, there's safety. You know what? It's more comfortable in the shallow end. There's less worry in the shallow end. You know, like I said, you're closer to shore in the shallow end. I went fishing with the Farnells one time. Went out deep sea fishing out there with Roy. He used to attend this church. And we went out there and we were catching salmon, and you could see the shore, right? And we were catching all these salmon. You could see, yeah, that's pretty nice, you know. But then all of a sudden, way out there, we seen these whales jump. And we went out there so far to where these whales were that you look back, you couldn't see shore anymore. And you're like, ooh. And then you see a whale come up alongside a 20-foot boat, like a 60, 70, 80-foot whale. And you can see its barnacles. And you're like, man, I don't feel so safe anymore. You know, I'm getting goosebumps. I didn't. And praise the Lord, Roy goes, yep. Ain't no fish out here. Let's go. Run! We took off. I'm just saying, the shallow end's a lot more comfortable. But you ain't going to see a bunch of great things a lot of time in the shallow end. You can. Don't get me wrong. There's some big things out there in the deep. I believe God desires a deeper discipleship. That's why I think this is definitely a different instance. Sometimes we can just have a shallow understanding of things. Sometimes you got to dig deep in some things. I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. One of my favorite sermons is, and the title alone was from Preacher Dan. He says, the title of his sermon is, What I Learned from Reading Genesis 19 for a Month Straight. That's the title. And I'm telling you right now, if you can find it and listen to that, you'll be like, I'm talking about digging, getting deep in a passage, getting deep with the Lord. You could have a shallow devotion, shallow discipleship. You could have a shallow trust. You could just be fireproof. I mean, I had to look this up for some reason. I was sitting there praying and meditating on this, and there's a pretty well-known illustration of Charlie Blondin. Anybody heard that guy's name before? Yeah. Guaranteed some of you probably heard this illustration before. But Charlie Blondin was a famous acrobat, a French acrobat. And in 1859, he put a tightrope across Niagara Falls. You heard this story? He puts this tightrope across Niagara Falls going from Canada to the United States. And he walked across this tightrope time after time again. And then he did it in stilts. And then he did it with a wheelbarrow. And I always just thought this was like, oh, this is some preacher's illustration. I looked it up. It's actually true. I was like, wow, this is actually true. So he pushes this wheelbarrow across, and all the people are chanting, yay! And he goes, who wants to see me push somebody across? They're like, yeah. He goes, you think I can do it? And they go, yeah. And he goes, who wants to get in? And it was quiet. And there's a difference between believing and trusting. Especially you, the one in the wheelbarrow. That's a good analogy, man. I tell you what. But we need to learn that. But you know what? You gotta learn in the shallow end. And you do learn some things. You learn to trust in the shallow end. I mean, I'll be all right here. I'm going to go out just a little bit deeper. Just thrust out just a little. Just a little. But, you know, babies need milk. But eventually, as a grown adult, you're going to need some meat. Isn't that how, I'll just turn over there. And Paul's lovely preaching. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto you as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. Yeah. But eventually you get it. Eventually, you got to get a little ways out from shore. You just got to thrust out. This one here is probably, I had this thought, I wrote it down, I thought it was a pretty good thought. You know, if you're ever going to teach somebody about the Lord, you know, Peter's a little bit further out than the rest of them. Am I right? He's with the Lord in the boat. If you're ever going to teach somebody, you should probably be a little bit further out than them. And I know I say that. I mean, I got Miss Muir back here. Miss Muir's been teaching people longer than, she's led more souls to the Lord. I mean, brother over here, I mean, but that doesn't mean you can't walk further with the Lord. Am I making sense? I've not arrived anywhere, but I'm not saying anything like that at all. I'm just saying, if you're going to be a blessing to somebody, you should be walking with the Lord. Yeah. Probably just a little bit further than them.
And it don't have to be far. It just be just a little bit. I heard another preacher say that, but just be a step ahead of them. If you're going to help them. Verse number 4 says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." So he's done teaching the people. But you know, he's not done teaching Peter. Peter, I like this. Peter's going to get some personal time with the Lord after all the teaching's over. That'll help you. That'll help you. He says, launch out into the deep. Now, launching out, that's when you just let that clutch go. And you give it some gas. I got a motorcycle. I like launching out. When you let the clutch out and your transmission engages with the gas, transmission, you're on a mission. You're launching. You're going. You can get out there. But you know this deep? You know what the deep kind of is like? It's the unknown. The unknown. Dangerous. I don't know what's out there. There's no life jackets. I imagine Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife was not out there asking Peter for his life jacket. You know, do you have your fishing license? Oh, I'm gonna stop right there. But he did have a fisher's coat. Bigger fisher out there. In this lake, it's 141 feet deep. 8 to 13 miles across. Lake Gennesaret is, the Sea of Galilee, depending on which way you're looking, depending on which way they were from shore. You know what? That's further than I want to swim. I'm just saying it comes into play. Safety becomes an issue. Trust becomes an issue. Weather becomes an issue. Wind becomes an issue. Worry becomes an issue. But Jesus is saying, you know what? Go. Launch out. Let's go. Let down your nets. Let's catch something. And Jesus said, launch. And you know what I like the most about that? Is Jesus is going to go with him. Amen. Don't forget that. If Jesus is telling you to go somewhere, you know what Jesus is going to do? Jesus is going to go with you. Amen. In verse number 5, it says, "And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." You know, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not to thine own understanding." Jesus says, you know what? Go out there and let your net down. And he's like, I've already been fishing all night. But if you say so, Lord, I'll do it, I guess. We'll do it. You know, thrust and trust. At thy word, he says, he's willing. He's willing to do it. But maybe not all. Maybe he doesn't want to do it all. Because there is a difference in one word there from what Jesus says and what Peter says. Because the Lord said, launch out and into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now I'll give you one. I'll give you one. And I don't know. Was it intentional? I don't know. Was he trying to, was it logic? Like, well, Jesus, what do you know about fishing? Man, I've been fishing all night. There's no fish out there, Jesus. Man, I just cleaned this net. I don't want to get it dirty again. I'll give you one. I'll just clean one of the nets. I don't know. I'm just... I was thinking, oh, maybe this is why Jesus says over there in John, after the resurrection, and he comes back and Jesus is there, and they said they toiled all the night and didn't catch nothing, and Jesus shows up on the shore and it says, let down your net on the right side. Yeah. You think that's the Lord's humor?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think it is. I'm not. I think it is. It's possible. I know once they. And by the way, some people think that this is the same passage. This the net broke. That one, the net didn't break. I mean, so it's pretty simple. But it's funny. Let down your net. I don't know. It's funny. But you know what? You got to pay attention to the details that God gives you. I think Peter learned that lesson later. Acts chapter 12, he's in prison there and he's sleeping between two soldiers. And an angel taps him, says, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals and cast thy garment and let's go. And like I've said before, and I'll say it again, there's a difference between getting let out of jail where you can just walk because you're free. And if somebody breaks you out of jail, well, you're going to have to run. Now, you can wear slip-ons when you get out of jail. But if you're going to get broken out of jail, you better bind on your sandals. They better be on tight. You better gird yourself and make sure nothing's going to fly off as you're running away. Not that anybody's ever going to break out of prison here anytime soon, I don't think, but... But there is a difference in small words. It's attention to the details. Amen. Verse number 6. Luke says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. You know what? When you go out the deep with God, you know what? You're going to see some great things. Great things are going to happen. Great multitudes. Might I say that these were personal things to Peter. Fishing was something to Peter. I've heard of people tell testimonies and then other people say they don't believe them. I know Danny was going through a huge time in his life of where just mass depression, and he calls out to the Lord. Lord, can you just show me a sign? And he said no sooner those words come out of his mouth, he looks down his driveway and he hears this motor, and he goes, my favorite car just drove right by. You say the Lord wasn't in that. I say you're a fool to say that. Amen. Deals with him in a personal way that he's going to bless him and he's going to know. This deep multitude. He's in the deep with a multitude of fishes. But later in Luke chapter 9 verse 12, he's going to be deep in the land. Feeding 5,000, where it ain't going to make any sense. How are we going to feed all these people, Lord? How are we going to do it, Lord? He says, what you got? He says, we got 5 loaves of barley and 2 small fishes. Bring them here. And he's going to see great multitudes of men going in the deep on the land. But you got to thrust out. You got to launch out. And you got to obey that word. I mean, I wrote down this illustration. This might seem simple to you or not relevant, but we was building this fence. We was building this fence, and we had to put these fence posts in right by some trees. I had this huge maple tree that we cut down. And if you've ever put fence posts by trees... Yay! I started digging my one hole, and I needed to put a railroad tie there, but as I started digging this thing for 30 minutes, I said, well, looks like we're settling for a 4x4 pressure treated because there was so much roots in there. So we get all the way done, man. We're almost done. Might the way I never prayed before I started. I'll say that. I'll admit it. We got one post left. I'm putting in this gate. And my wife's been digging these holes right here. So she's digging the holes as I'm putting together this fence. And we got one one hole that's got to get dug. And I kid you not, man, one hole. And this cedar tree is right there. 60-foot cedar tree, over 4 foot on the butt, and I got to put a hole less than 2 feet. I got pictures on my phone, less than 2 feet away from it. And my wife goes, man, I hope to God there's no roots there. And I go, I said, we better pray. God is my witness.
Amen.
Glory to God. She dug that hole and got down that thing 20 inches. There wasn't one root there. The cleanest dirt you ever seen in your life. You could eat this dirt. I'm not kidding one bit. And she goes, 20 inches. And my wife, I'm like, put your back into it. No, I'm just joking. She's my wife outworked me any day of the week. But we got that hole dug. 20 inches deep, not one root. I'm saying deep. That might seem something, not that, that means something to me, man. That might, you know, that for me, that's a, we showed two guys that were cutting down the trees. I said, check this out. I said, we prayed before this and the Lord did this. And they went, no way. And they're standing there in disbelief. I said, look at the dirt over there. He goes, wow. In disbelief. Man. Verse number 7. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled the ship so that it began to sink. You know what? Others will benefit from your obedience. If you're willing to go out a little bit further, they'll encourage you, exhort you. I mean, I think of missionaries. How many people we heard that when a missionary comes in here and he preaches, I went over to, you know, wherever, Okinawa, Japan, and then, you know, another brother gets called or another sister goes, I'm going to become a missionary because somebody else was willing to go out there in the deep and start fishing for some souls. And now this other person's going to go because this person went out because of this person's obedience. Time and time again. You know, it's nice to have friends and partners. I like this. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Man, it's nice to have friends and partners and other fellows that are willing to go out in the deep with you. Amen. Can I say this, though? And this, I do believe this to be important. Don't put down people who aren't ready to go yet. Don't put down people who aren't ready to go out in the deep yet. There's nothing wrong with being in the shallow end. Until you get a little bit more trust. Everybody can witness in the shallow end. And there's a lot more people in the shallow end than there is in the deep end. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to, man, there's a lot more souls to be saved over in the shallow end than there is in the deep end. Amen. Let me say it like this. Some people just ain't ready for when the boat starts to sink yet. And the boat began to sink. Verse number 7. They're going to need a Paul. They're going to need a Paul. And Paul tells them. Paul in one of his shipwrecks. I'll just read this to you. It's Acts chapter 27. You don't need to turn there. And then the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You're like, yeah, great times. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and have to gain this harm and loss. He said, told you so.
Right.
And now, listen to this though. And now I exhort you. Amen. That's what you need. Some brother that's been out in the deep, that's been through it a little bit. Now, I exhort you to be of good cheer, that there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And he got that trust. He's been there. He's done that. He's been a little further out. He's launched out. Amen. No loss of life. Verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know what? You launch out of the deep with Jesus, you're going to find out some things about yourself. Amen. You're going to find out some things about yourself. Peter learned it of his sin. You know what he does? He admits it. He admits it. And he confesses it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory to His name. Glory. But Peter says, "Depart from me." Can I ask you this? Does God depart from him? No. That'll help you. God's not going anywhere. He says, "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee." And I believe that's why over there in verse number 10, he says, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear. Fear not. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear." You know, the Lord loves you. The Lord forgive you your sins. The Lord will be there with you. But he that hath fear is not made, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, he's teaching some things. You gotta learn some things about yourself in the deep. You gotta launch out. You know, you dig deep in this book, you know what that Holy Spirit's gonna talk to you. Amen. It does. It'll speak to you. I like this that he has true repentance here. Not like Judas. You know what? People don't acknowledge their sin anymore. I don't know if it's because people don't preach on it or they just don't think they're a sinner. I mean, I don't know. But I ask the Lord, forgive me of my sins daily. Even the ones I don't know I'm doing. Because without, or anyhow. Verse number 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know what? That's that deeper discipleship. They forsook all. All. That's a tough word. I have problems with all. I like my motorcycle. I'm just being honest. And followed him. You know what happened to the ships? What happened to hired servants? What happened to fish? What happened to nets? Was it all the nets? Or was it just the net? They forsook all. You know, you can follow Christ without forsaking all. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you want to go deeper? And he forsook the fish. Elijah forsook the farm. And both of them chose to follow after the faith. Let me say this. You can't follow someone who's not going anywhere. Jesus was going somewhere. God's going somewhere. God's going places. And if God calls you to go someplace, you can rest assured that He's going to go with you. And He's looking for someone to go with Him. He wants you to go with Him. He wants to take you there too. But would you follow Him there? For Peter, James, and John, you know what the deep was? Deep was the land. Fishing was, man, we know fishing. He said, "Yeah, well, let's go this way. Let's go this way. What you going to forsake?" You know what? They'd become fishers of men. What's the deep for you today? What's it for you? How deep you want to go? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you, Lord, just for this book. Lord, thank you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, today if, Lord, any of us are struggling to go out in the deep, Lord, you just give us that confidence, give us that trust, Lord, and we just desire, Lord, to have a deeper trust and walk with you. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.